السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ليس على الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جناح فيما طعموا إذا ما اتقوا وآمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ثم اتقوا وآمنوا ثم اتقوا وأحسنوا والله يحب المحسنين. صدق الله العظيم. One of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wasi'. If you read the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would find one of these to be al-wasi' jalla jalaluh. Just quick clarification, as we say 99 names does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes are limited to 99. But these 99 have been mentioned in one hadith altogether. This is why normally they are mentioned. Whereas we cannot put any limits to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does al-wasi' means? It's driven from the word si'ah. It refers to the same thing that someone that has no limits to anything that he does. We cannot apply any limits to anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. There is wus'a in everything. In his attributes, in his creation, in his rahmah, in his forgiveness, in his giving. There is wus'a in everything. So much so that our brain that travels an unimaginable speed. In no time you're thinking from about sitting here, you're thinking about the farthest person point of the world. And you may even try to think about heavens and about different ways and different places out of this universe. But after some time you would realize that this brain is getting tired and giving up. But the si'ah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have put in this space does not end. It's endless. You just keep on thinking and thinking and going beyond it and beyond and keep on going. How far would we go? What's after these skies? We see the sun and moon, and we are so happy that now we can tell people the measurement of the sun and moon. And of course, what does this measurement mean? A lot of time we hear measurements of the stars also. That star is this big. And then very proudly we mention it also in our talks to other people. Look, the science have developed so much that now we can even tell the sizes of these stars. Allahu alam, I think the reality may be a person asking his friend, how many stars do you see on the skies? Do you know the number? He says, yes, I do. The number of the stars on the sky is as many hairs as you have on your head. Do you know the number of the hair on your head? He says, no. He says, the same exact number. If you count one of them, you know the other one. Now, this person would be very impressing. He would convince the other person, really, I know that number and I know this number. In reality, he doesn't know either of these numbers. He's just guessing, and now he puts it up to you. He knows you will never count the stars, you will never count your hair. Now when we know, when we are told the size, the sizes of the stars, who's going to go to measure them? Just put up a figure out there and you will be a scientist. Yes, there may be imaginations, there may be close guesses, But of course, these are only guesses. Nothing can be as normally is presented to us that this is how big that is. This is how far it is from here. So, the wus'ah. So much, that means it's so wide, everything is so wide open, that it's difficult to put limits to it. And as soon as you start putting limits to it, and you see, the sky is only what you see above you. There is nothing else. And all the knowledge of science is only what we know about. There is nothing beyond it. We have seen the whole world and everything that is within the world. Even that is false. Within this earth that we live in, there are so many things that we are not still aware of. Day by day there are new findings about things. We found something new here, there is something else came up from the other part of the world. I mean, so many things are happening in the world that we never knew that they ever existed. When people start putting limits to it, this is where they make a major mistake. They are trying to end the si'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wasi' in all of His attributes, in His khalq, His wasi'. Which means there is vastness everywhere. He doesn't apply these limits like we normally do. Then what we like to do is put limits to these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created only these many fish in the oceans. Don't fish too much, you know, we will run out of fish. Allah created only this much food in the world. Don't have too many children, otherwise they won't have any food to eat. We are trying to finish that si'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahabi person, a villager, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after embracing Islam, he goes on the side and he makes dua. Performs Surah Al-Salah, and after Salah he makes the dua. Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammada wa la tarham ma'ana ahada. Ya Allah, have mercy on me and Muhammad only, don't have mercy on anyone else. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and said, Ya hada, laqad tahajjarta wasi'a. Something is so wide, so great, and you are putting so many, you're making it so narrow. Rahmah only for me and you. How come the other people, you're depriving the other people from the rahmah of Allah? But he feels that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should get it, because he is the one who taught me the deen and hidayah, and I got the hidayah through him. And then I should get the rest. If everyone will start getting his share, what I'm going to get from it? According to his understanding, the rahmah is very limited. He's trying to put limit to the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, قُلْ لَوْ أَنْتُمْ تَمْلِكُونَ خَزَائِنَ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّي إِذًا لَأَمْسَكْتُمْ خَشْيَةَ الْإِنْفَاقِ. He says, if I give you the control over the treasures of my rahmah, you would start holding it back and you won't give it out to people, even the rahmah. You would just try to hold it back, خَشْيَةَ الْإِنْفَاقِ, with the fear that is going to finish. This is human nature. And on the other hand, that is Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala. With us, everything is limited, including our understanding, our brain, our imagination also is very limited. It goes too far. But after all, even that far point is according to our understanding, otherwise in reality, it may not be too far. Comparing to what's out there and what exists out there. As we see that our nature is, with all of these things, we like to put limits to everything. This is generally human nature and habit, that we would love to put limits everywhere, with the fear that if it continues all the time, it continues flowing and flowing and flowing, it will end someday. So, we do the same thing when it comes to our differences, and when it comes to our opinions and trying to deal with other people. When we are dealing with people and comes to our opinions and understanding, we try to do the very same thing. That if everyone will give his opinion, then my opinion will not be followed. And then we will be just If my opinion is not followed, you know, this is, I must make sure that my opinion is followed. Because I have to put some limit to how far can we go with opinions. So in order for me to put limits, where should I draw the line? I draw the line only around my head. See, most of us draw that line around our head. That it should be just from this head. Too many heads, too many opinions, too many people, you know, is going to just create more differences and more problems in the community. So what should we do? Everyone follow me. Every some time you hear a group of people coming up. Brother, you should join us. What's your mission? The Ummah has been divided in so many groups. There are so many groups in the Ummah, and Ummah has been divided in too many small groups. Everyone is just forming his own group and getting in his own way. So this is why you should join us, because we are inviting people to the unity. How many people do you have with you? Right now we are 15 people, and inshallah we'll grow. So are you increasing one more group into the Ummah, or you are bringing Ummah together? This is only another addition to all of those groups, and now 10-15 more people are going to get another corner and they will form their own group, that we are trying to bring unity in the Ummah. This will only divide us even furthermore. And the reason behind it is, we are trying to put these limits, and because we are very limited, so therefore we are not able to draw a bigger line. We don't want to draw a bigger circle, so we would like to draw the circle only around our head, that this is the only thing where, this is the only machine that's going to produce opinions from now on. This is the only valid machine for that. Anyone else gives his opinion, you know, the reason I don't want to accept it, because there are too many people out there. Who I can trust, and who I can go with, and who can I, how many people are we going to share opinions with? So just stop it there. We are taking the si'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept this thing wide open. This is one of the attributes of Allah, where you see He's al-wasi' subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He put wus'a in here. He put a lot of space over here. For difference of opinion, we try to just put limits, our own limits over there, and just finish all of that si'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That openness that is there, we try to lock every door. We lock every door until it will come to only my own door, and now the only way where people should be getting their opinions from is my door and my head and my opinions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he loved to give this ummah a si'ah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, which means keep the path open for the ummah of having their own understanding of these differences, so much that sometimes when Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam questions, and he thought by answering the question the thing will become difficult now. Once I would answer it, then people will just have to follow this. There will be no other way. And as long as I don't answer the question, then people will have the room to at least understand it according to their ways. And then once they try to understand it and they follow the right understanding, hopefully, inshallah, they will be able to get they will be rewarded. So therefore, in many of the occasions, he would mention a ruling and then he would not mention any limits to it. And whenever a sahabi would come and ask about the limits of it, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be extremely upset with that sahabi. And in fact, said in one of the ahadiths, that one of the worst people in my ummah is the one who asks a question, and he asks such a question that because of his question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala applies restrictions on the ummah that makes things difficult on the ummah. This is one of the worst people in the ummah. And in many of the ahadiths, we see that he used to discourage them asking too many questions, because that same fear that if they continue doing it, if they keep on asking, they may even ask questions where finally the limits will start coming down and it will become difficult for the people that will come in future. And that is the reason many times Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in were afraid to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questions, and they used to wait for villagers to come, and they would tell that villager, ask him this, ask him this. Remember, differences of opinions. This is the nature of human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wanted, He could have just created one brain, same brain, copied and placed in every head. But this never happened. Within a small family of 2-3 people, each person has different way of thinking, different way of looking at things. This is sunnatullah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. When we try to put limits to these thinkings, this way of thinking, then we are trying to finish and destroy that sunnatullah. We are fighting that fitrah, that nature of a human being. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his home, and that was during the month of Ramadan, he came with the intention of informing Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een when Laylatul Qadr would be. What exact night would be Laylatul Qadr? He came out, two people were arguing in the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنِّي خَرَجْتُ لِيُخْبِرَكُمْ عَنْ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. I came to inform you about لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ فَتَلَاحَ فُلَانٌ وَفُلَانٌ. This and that person were arguing in the masjid. Because of their argument, Allah made me forget it. And now, since I forgot it, now I would not know it anymore. That's it. It's gone. It was the effect of their argument. That is gone. So now, just seek لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ and look for لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ in the odd nights of the last 10 days of Ramadan. Here we learn that there are two different things. One is difference of opinion and the other is arguments. Difference of opinion should never open the doors towards fighting and disliking each other and hatred in the ummah. Difference of opinion is something that is good. It brings a lot of other opinions. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also informs us in the hadith, one of the signs of Qiyamah is that people will consider them their opinions as the final ruling. This is one of the alamat of Qiyamah. There is a long hadith in Sunan al-Tirmizi where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned 15 signs of Qiyamah. And one of them is that people will consider their opinion to be the final ruling. Now, this is where the problem comes with difference of opinion. When we don't consider that an opinion, we consider it a wahi. One of the scholars advised his student saying, never consider yourself to be Allah or the Prophet of Allah. And the student was shocked. What are you saying? Don't you trust me? Even in my iman? You're telling me not to claim to be Allah and not to claim to be a messenger of Allah? Do you think I would ever do this? He was a little upset with that wasiyah, with that advice of his teacher. He goes on to tell him, when you consider your opinion to be like a wahi, final words, I said it, just go ahead and follow it. And you are claiming to be Allah, putting yourself in that position, look, this is wahi. Whatever I tell you, it's wahi, you must follow it. And when you consider differing with you, anyone having difference of opinion with you, to be sin, then you are putting yourself into the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That this brother, this sister, this person, he differed with me, and this is why this person is a sinner, he's a bad Muslim. The beauty of this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us everything, and then tells us all the rulings regarding it, how to follow it, to what extent we can go with it. And when it comes to these differences, one thing that is very important, a lot of times what we try to do, when we are working towards the unity of the ummah, we have conferences about it. We have a lot of gatherings, we have talks, we are concerned about it. One of the, I think, largest concern in the ummah is about the unity of the ummah. How can we just finish all of these differences and bring people together? In fact, most of the time you would realize, pay close attention to it, and you would see that most of the time, the solution that we are bringing to finish these differences, it just adds one more problem into the ummah. Most of the time you would see that solution is just adding one more problem. reason is, again, we are presenting that solution according to our own understanding, and then this should be the final solution. I told everyone they should do this, and no one wants to listen to me. So what can I do now? I'm not coming to this masjid anymore. I told these people, you should be united. And in order for you to be united, in simple words, he doesn't say it up front, for you to be united, listen to me. Which is a totally wrong approach from the Sharia point of view. What does Sharia teach us about it? You see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he taught Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa jama'in, the ruling about these differences, that it's open. You can give your opinion, give your suggestions. At the same time, he told them, and he told the ummah, how to deal with these opinions and how to deal with these situations when our opinion is rejected. When the opinion is rejected, when people don't want to listen to it, what you should do at that time. What is that? Islam teaches us. When a person is dealing with situation where there is no wahi, where the final word of Allah does not make the decision, then always give others the room to have their opinions about it. Don't close that door. Don't close the door for others to have their opinion regarding this situation. And once people are having those differences of opinions about it, don't carry hatred and hard feelings against them. Most of the time, as I said, our solution is, just follow what I'm saying. Instead of this, if the solution would be, let's accept the opinion of other person to be a valid opinion. Not necessarily something that I must follow, but at least it's something that there is room for it in the Sharia. The Sharia does not close that door for this person to have this opinion. This is very important. A lot of places I go, and right away, as soon as the topic of unity comes up, you know the first question? Say it. Moon sighting. Eid. This is what you wanted to say. Eid. If we can get together on one day or 2 days on a year, then we can never be together. I always tell people, how about we accept that difference? And we accept that there is room in the Sharia for both of these opinions. What if we accept that then? And don't force people to follow only my opinion. Let's say, there is Imam Shafi rahimahullah. He said one thing about it. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said one thing about it. Today someone is following one opinion of Imam. Some people are following the opinion of Imam Shafi. The other people are following the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Can we say one of these two are wrong? And let's close all the doors now of differences for the sake of our unity. And unity will only mean that let's just all just follow one thing. This is where then this is one of the major issues we may not be able to digest it. This is why I mentioned this, which is considered to be the most important issue when it comes to unity. That is the most important issue. And you know why it's important? I will tell you that also, if you never thought about it. It's not because we want to do Eid on the same day. No, it's not because of that. It's so that when non-Muslims would ask us, how come you have Eid on 2 days, I don't know what to say. Yes, that is the reason. And you always hear people, when they talk about moonsighting issue, right away, the greatest thing they will talk about, even non-Muslims, they ask us, and we don't know, we can't tell them anything. That's your problem, you can't tell them anything. Educate yourself about how to tell them and what to tell them. But does it mean because now those people objected to you, you would say, that's it. There has to be, we have to do it one day because non-Muslims said it. This is a proof. This is a reason. Tomorrow they would tell us, look, in two different masajid, one masjid prays at this time and the other person masjid prays Fajr at that time. How come you people have difference of opinion? Now we will go to all the masajid. We all must have prayer at the same time. This is what our deen is based on. A lot of time the basis of differences is totally false. Really, the whole base that we are founding everything on is not a valid base. It's not a strong base. The base should be, no, there is a hadith. And on the other hand, there is no other way of dealing with this situation. This is the only hadith regarding this topic. How can people are not following hadith? Yes, this is a valid base. And we have a hadith. We have a saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The whole ummah always agreed to it. Ummah always followed this. And today we have all of a sudden a group of people that are going away from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes. There, we don't have no room for differences. Because the final word came from the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. But when that thing is not there, and I say, I feel that this is how it should be followed in these days. And you tell me, no, I feel, according to our time, this is how it would be followed. I ask you, can you show me what you are claiming to be the meaning of it exactly word by word in the hadith? And you tell me, no, I can't. You ask me, can you show it to me? And I say, no. None of us can show the other person. Which means now there is room. Now for me to close that door and say, that's it. There is no other way. There is no room for differences. This is something where Sharia will not allow us to do anything like this. And Sharia, it's just like that person. Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammada wa la tarham ma'ana ahada. Have mercy on Muhammad only, don't have mercy on anyone else. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Once he was asked a question about one of the issues of the Sharia. I don't remember exactly what ruling that was. So the person who asked him, as he asked him the question, he also mentioned that Ali and Zayd radiallahu anhuma said this about this question. Umar radiallahu anhu said, if it was up to me, I would say this. Something different than what Ali and Zayd radiallahu anhuma had said. If it was up to me, I would say this. So the person asked, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are Amir al-Mu'mineen. Go ahead, issue the ruling. And then everyone would follow it. Umar radiallahu anhu gave a beautiful response that we all need to really just remember it and memorize it and engrave this response in our head. Umar radiallahu anhu says, if I had an ayah or a hadith, I would have said this is the final ruling. Now if Amir al-Mu'mineen also becomes an addition to Quran and hadith, one more thing added to Quran, and I'm going to consider my opinion because just because I'm Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm going to add my opinion into the deen of Allah just like Quran and hadith, then I'm not a true Khalifa of Mu'mineen. Just using my position. Qul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ. Haven't you seen a person who argued with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam regarding his Rabb? This person was arguing with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam about his Rabb. And why is he arguing? Does he have a strong base? No. أَنْ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ. Just because Allah gave him the kingdom. So he feels because I'm the king, I should be able to argue. It's not because I have a strong proof. No, because I'm a king. This is what exactly Umar radiallahu anhu is saying, that if I issue that ruling and my opinion as the final rule, because I'm Amir al-Mu'mineen, that's not a base. SubhanAllah, look when he's looking at the situation, that this is not a base. Why? My opinion is more valid than the opinion of Ali radiallahu anhu. Just because I'm Amir al-Mu'mineen? No, that's not a valid proof. SubhanAllah. To realize this. How important it is. What a beautiful lesson that he's giving us. And Khalifa Mansur approached Imam Malik bin Anas radiallahu anhu, that write a book. And his opinion was about Mu'atta. Write this book for us, and I'm going to make sure that all the people will follow this madhab and this book. Whatever you will write in this book will be followed by all the people. Masharikha wa magharibha. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi's response was, please don't do that. For me, I would put that on the front page of my book. That look, this is how accepted my book is, that Khalifa is saying that is such a great book, that this book should be followed in the whole world and nothing else, no other opinions must be followed. What can be better than this for me? It will finish all the differences in the ummah. And then, more than this for me, my book will be followed. It reminds me, before I continue with Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi's response, a barber goes to his home and he was very happy. He was very happy that day, and his wife looks at him and he must have upset her earlier. And she gives him that look and she says, What happened? Why are you so happy? Why are you laughing for? You know what? Today the king told me I'm the best barber in the world. Today the king told me that I'm the best barber in the world. He said, what's so good about it? What does the king knows about this field? If the barbers would tell you you are the best barber, I would say yes, you got something. King telling you are the best barber, he doesn't know nothing about this field. So why you're so happy? So Mansur is saying to Imam Malik, or Harun al-Rashid according to another narration, he's saying to Imam Malik that this book is so great that it will be followed throughout. Normally we get very happy, you know, after my talk a brother came to me and said, this was the best speech in the world. MashaAllah, see? So, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi knew how to put things in their proper places, in positions. So Imam Malik rahimahullah says to Mansur, that Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, he says to him, look, Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een had difference of opinions regarding issues of Sharia. And then Tabi'een learned from Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een. It continued up to this day. If you try to force people to follow only this one, yes, it came from the same sources. Sahaba teaching to their students teaching us, and we learned it from Tabi'een. He's Tabi'. We learned it from them. But if you force other people, the other students of Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in to follow this, yaraw dhalika kufran, they will think it's kufr, because this is what they learned from Sahaba and from Tabi'een. And then in that way they will be just rejecting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rejecting these opinions because they are forced to it. Therefore my opinion is, don't force it on others. If you want to follow it, go ahead, take the book and follow it. What a beautiful suggestion from Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. Don't force all the people of the world just to follow this one here. Because Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in differed. And accordingly then their students learned from them. And then it continued and Tabi'een learned the same thing. Now if we try to just put an end to it and bring all of them to one opinion, people will ask us, how about the opinion of that Sahabi? How about the opinion of Abdullah ibn Umar? How about the opinion of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? The Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, of course, because of that room that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for them, they always had these differences amongst themselves, and no one issued fatwa against the other people, that person, because of this fatwa, he is wrong and he should never be followed, and no one should talk to him, and no one should go and pray in his masjid. Simple words. If we summarize the whole thing, we see that Sharia is keeping rooms for differences. Of course, as long as these opinions are coming from the right sources. It's not that now we learned that in Sharia you can have difference of opinions. So I will tell the Imam, you know, how about we do Zuhr and Asr together? And Fajr and Asr together, Fajr and Zuhr together. No. It's not where we would go against the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these things of course are for people of the field. People who know what they know, what they're talking about. They have knowledge regarding that field. And when they have differences regarding these matters, this is none of them have a wahi. None of them have their word to be the final word. And there is room for these opinions. We should never try to finish that. In fact, we should try to understand these opinions. That yes, there is room in the Sharia for it. So this is one thing. Number one, Sharia opening the door for it. Number two, understanding that these differences should never lead us towards hatred and disliking each other. That is the extremely important point. Most of the time, we misuse this beauty of the Sharia. Sharia is keeping that door open for us, and we, instead of now having that as opinions, we change it into final rulings and orders. And now if people are not going to follow it, then we will start making another group, and we will form another group, masjid here, and another organization, and we will start forming our own groups around this area and inform people that how bad these people are because they did not follow us. This is something where the problem, where all the problem comes in the ummah, in the amongst the Islamic communities, which is not understanding the beauty of the Sharia in keeping that room open, and we are trying to close it. How are we closing it? We don't say that no, don't give the opinion, but what we are doing is building hatred, disliking, and because of that, you know the problems that we run into. Mainly the greatest problem people are running into, number one, our own personal differences. You go to one family, they don't like the other family. These families are carrying hatred amongst themselves. It grows. Children are hearing their parents backbiting. We open the doors to every haram, because of that difference of opinion that was allowed in Sharia. But now, because of that, we are opening all the doors of the haram for ourselves. How come these things became allowed in our Sharia? Where, in which opinion, according to which imam, which hadith, it allows us that we can attack others, that we can curse at others, that we can backbite others, that we can have our children talk against those people, against their elders, against their teachers. And then it continues. It continues with hatred, and it's building up and up, and finally it leads to a worse problem. And that is, most of the, we have so many resources within the communities, we can never bring these resources together. We can never bring these resources together. The only reason behind it, because we don't like the masjid. The masjid that we pray in, look into your heart. We can't judge others. We need to look into our hearts. The masjid that we pray in, we don't like the imam of that masjid. We don't like the committee of that masjid. We don't like the people of that masjid. I go to a place, people start explaining their problems. And of course, those things are there. My question is, I have the same problem in my community. You have it in your community. And wherever we both would go, we would find it in that community. What are we going to do now? It's very simple. The solution is very simple. As long as it's within the limits of the Sharia, accept it. Don't close your hearts. Don't put limits to things where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have not put limits to them. Don't try to lock people into a small room and say this is all that where you can run. That's it. Nothing beyond this. A lot of times, and you would see this to be effect in our communities, a lot of times the things that are dividing us and dividing our communities is not that should we pray Salah 5 times a day or we shouldn't pray it. These are not the issues. The issue is, should the light be over here or the light be over there? Now, big argument about it. Come on, let's take both of the lights out. I mean, most of the issues are really related to these type of things. Where in our homes, in the same issue, we are willing to give it up. In the house, with the same issue, we will give it up. Not only this. I have seen situations where a person in the masjid, he is shouting at someone that you made when you laid the salah, you made these mistakes. He was shouting at a person, he's not on the imam, on someone who led the salah. And I know the person and I know the family, so I said to the brother very quietly on his ear, I said, but your son never comes to salah. Do you ever tell him that at least come for salah, even if he would make all of these mistakes? You're accepting all of that from your children, from your son, and you are not accepting few mistakes from this brother? Don't go home and shout at your son that I didn't see you in the masjid. You shout at the brother who's in the masjid that you made 2 mistakes. This is when we are trying to make our deen very narrow. That everything is accepted outside, but as soon as you enter this door, now start getting as strict as you can. Instead, judging people as hardly as you can, harshly as you can. This is normally what happens with us. And really, it's a problem where if we look at it, it's not something that we can judge others. If we start with ourselves, opening our hearts, trying to understand people, and trying to be lenient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Always keep yourself very soft and polite for the believers that are with you. This is part of اخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ. Keeping yourself very polite and soft. When you hear it, take it. Try to think about it. Go back. Think over it. And see, it may be a better one. Or it may be a similar one. Or there is a possibility, 50-50. My opinion may be better, his opinion may be better. Or at the end, the best, the highest result you can come up with is that my opinion for sure is better than his opinion. So what? And say you came with that opinion, that my opinion is better than his opinion. Go back masjid the next day. Does it mean that no, I came to the determination that my opinion is better than yours, so therefore only mine has to be followed. It was during the battle of Uhud, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, should we fight the kuffar in Medina while we are in Medina, or should we go out? Should we go out and fight them, or should we defend ourselves just being in Medina Munawwara? So, many of the Sahaba who missed the Battle of Badr, they were of the opinion that we should go out and fight them, because we don't want to be just sitting here and defending ourselves. We want to fight them in a field. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's personal opinion was we should stay in Medina and just defend ourselves while being in Medina. Leader of the Munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, his opinion was the same as the opinion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we should stay in Medina and just defend ourselves here. For him, whatever his reasoning was, he can just stay home and then they don't have to show up later on. Whatever the reason was, anyway, he gave his opinion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave his opinion, but the other Sahaba who had missed the Battle of Badr and they had the feeling for that, they said, no, we should go out and fight them. Finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided and he gave the final ruling, okay, we'll go out. So, 1,000 Sahaba Ridwanullahi al-Majma'in, 1,000 people joined Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as they were going towards Uhud, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul pulls out 300 people. 300 people with him, and he says, I'm not going to join you people. Why? Because you did not follow my opinion. I will not join because you did not follow my opinion. He broke himself off the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam just because his opinion was not followed. We see clearly the difference between Sahaba Ridwanullahi al-Majma'in and between Munafiqeen in regarding dealing with their opinions. And today, if we start looking at ourselves, who do we really follow? How many times we break ourselves off the Jama'atul Muslimin? And we lose major tasks that we can really, if we sit together and where there is no even differences and we don't even have any room for differences, we can really have a lot of achievements, but we give up all of those things just because on that day my opinion was not followed. In fact, if we look at the hadith, we can say and we see that this is as we keep on getting closer to the day of Qiyamah, the problem will keep on getting worse and worse. Problem is getting worse and worse. And really you see it, how a lot of time now, children, their world, according to their understanding, their opinion is more valid than the opinion of their parents. No one is willing to give it up. Students, their opinion according to their understanding is much more valid than the opinions of their teachers. Youngsters, the way they look at their elders nowadays, their opinion is more valid than the opinions of their elders. Those people had experience 50 years, 60 years. To these young people, is invalid. No, it means nothing. I know what I'm talking about. It goes even further. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith, towards the end of the days, people will be using their opinion to reject their aslaf, the scholars of the ummah, the people of the past, And we see how many people now, they reject the scholars of the Ummah, went all the way up to Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhi Majma'een, rejecting even Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhi Majma'een just because of their opinions. This is how bad the situation gets. Majority of the problems in family issues are difference of opinions. Majority of the problems are not Sharia related issues. If you start looking at these, study these situations that are rising in Muslim families, and where people, a lot of time, they end up a divorce, wal'ayyaz billah, or fighting, and then jeopardizing the lives of their children, and they go through all of that. And you look at the main reason behind it, is nothing, it's not a Sharia related issue. He was doing something haram and I told him, no, this is haram. It wasn't that. It's only an opinion-based issue where one person had this opinion and the other person had the other opinion. And they started arguing about it. And finally it ended up in a continuous fighting and finally in a divorce. This is where we need to learn the beauty of this deen and adopt this beauty of our deen, the si'a. Allah is wasi'a and He created the si'a in this deen during the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. A person wrote a book about the difference of opinion of the scholars of that time. Now this is at the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. So he wrote a book where he gathered the difference of opinions regarding Sharia related issues of the scholars of the Islam of that time. Ali ibn al-Madini rahimahullah, who is considered to be one of the greatest scholars of Islam regarding Asma'ur Rijal, which means the narrators of the Hadith. He wrote great books about it. He is the teacher of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah in this field. Ali ibn al-Madini narrates in his book that when Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah saw that book, he suggested to that person that, I know you have collected difference of opinion, but don't call this book Kitab al-Ikhtilaf. Call it Kitab al-Si'ah. Don't call it the book of Ikhtilaf, of differences. Call it the book of the vastness, or of the, what would you call it? Of not diversity really, because we use it totally on a different... Right, book of flexibility in Islam. That these are different, their a'imma differed among themselves, and see Islam is flexible, is allowing him to say his and allowing him to say his. This was the suggestion of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. One of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah's students says, one day Imam Ahmad and Ali ibn al-Madini, two people that are on the peak of the Islamic sciences in those days, Imam Ahmad and Ali ibn al-Madini, they kept on discussing one issue for hours. The issue was Ash-Shahada, which means those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in who got the glad tiding of Jannah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can we say for sure, and we assume, I mean, with certainty, can we say that all of those are in Jannah, or we shouldn't say that? This was the issue. And they had difference of opinion about it. He says they were there for hours discussing it, and each of them is bringing his own proofs and discussing and continuing. Student says, my feeling was, this is the last day they would ever see each other's face. Last day that they would see each other's face, they are never going to talk to each other. When Ali ibn al-Madini got up and he was about to leave, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal picked up his slippers and put it in front of him. Point that yes, that difference was there because Sharia allows, and this is adab. Imam Shafi rahimahullah, he said something so beautiful that really, for me personally, I benefited so much from the saying of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, that hardly I could remember saying of someone have benefited me that much in my life. And that is, Imam Shafi rahimahullah says, whenever I have a disagreement with someone regarding any issue, whenever I have a disagreement with a person, we get into argument, into talking about these issues, I always pray and feel in my heart and mind, my mind, that if this person is correct, will be better than me being correct. He says, this is what I always hope and pray, that may this person be the correct one and I be the wrong one. So that after hearing all of these arguments, then I correct myself. What a beautiful statement. Normally, when you get up into these situations, our feeling normally is, I wish I can defeat him. I wish I can prove myself being right. That will prove that I am the most knowledgeable one. That will prove that I am the greater person. Imam Shafi rahimahullah says, I always feel and pray that I am the one who is wrong and he is correct. And the reason for that is, after all, if I was wrong, I will be corrected by him and it will not create any sense of arrogance in me. What a beautiful way of looking at it. This is the beauty of the Sharia. That Sharia is open, it opens the doors for us, and at the same time, it teaches us how to deal with it. Adab, respect, and especially keeping the room for others to have those opinions, is something that Sharia always orders us to keep it there, to keep these orders, and especially when it comes to adab. I'm sure many of you may have read it, that Imam Shafi rahimahullah, when he went to Kufa, and he visited the grave, he went to Iraq and he visited the grave of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. And then he was in the masjid which is next to the grave. So when he performed the salah in that masjid, he performed the salah without raising his hands during the salah. So one of the students asked him, how come today you didn't raise your hands during the salah? Imam Shafi rahimahullah said, for respect of the teacher of this place. Although he's buried, but as a respect to him, today I followed his opinion. Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah once was asked a question, that if a person, the person asked him, that what's your opinion about a person who is bleeding, would it break his wudu? He said yes. He said no, according to my opinion it will not. So the person said, then can we perform salah behind the imam who is not following this opinion? He's of the other opinion that no, he said, according to Imam Ahmad, it would break. So he said, how about a person who would say, no, it does not break, and then he performed the salah without it, without refreshing the wudu. Is it allowed to pray? Imam Ahmad got upset. And he said, do you think you will not pray behind Imam Malik and Imam Ibn Sirin? And if those people are leading the salah, you will not pray behind them? This is where the respect is. That look at the other, look how he is making it so clear that because I'm saying this, you will stop praying behind Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu's opinion was that when you're traveling, you should shorten the prayers. Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu's opinion changed towards the end when he became the Khalifa and he went for Hajj. His opinion was that perform for full 4 rak'ahs. And especially because he got married in Makkah Mukarramah, so he thought, that's my in-laws also, so I would just do the full salah. People went and asked Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, what do you say about it? He said, my opinion is that we should do the qasr. Okay, now all the people are watching what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is going to do. It's time for salah. Uthman radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen, is leading the salah. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud prays behind him. After they finished the salah, they asked Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you said your opinion was to shorten the prayer. And Uthman radiallahu anhu is traveled just like you are, but you prayed behind him. He said, do you think I would stop praying behind a person that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have guaranteed the Jannah at least 5 times in his life? I would say his salah is not valid and he's not going to Jannah. Yes. See where they're drawing that line. That difference, that room for the difference is there. It's not because he has guaranteed the Jannah, so I will say if he says 4, then I will say 4. Beauty, beautiful. That if he says 4, doesn't mean I'm going to say 4. I stick to my opinion, and that is according to what I have learned, is 2 rak'ahs. But does it mean I'm going to break myself from him and now I'm going to form another group against Uthman radiallahu anhu, and now in Hajj we will have 2 different groups, the group of Uthman and group of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? No, this is not happening. I'm not going to do that. I'm under his leadership, I will follow him. What is the effect of these differences? If we keep the differences within their limits, the effect is what we see in the past. That there are more opinions, and alhamdulillah, that shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make the deen too difficult for us. This is the effect when we keep it The way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us about the differences. But if we try to change the order, try to change the ruling, and as we see it nowadays, that we try to make it difficult, and these differences are leading towards hatred, towards disliking, in that way we find so many ahadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns us against it. And he says that a person who breaks himself from the ummah, a person who breaks himself from the ummah, and then he goes away and he dies, لا يبالي الله, Allah does not care, في أي أوديتها هلك, in which portion of the world he goes and kills himself, Allah does not care about himself. In one of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the example of a goat. He says a goat that separates from the rest of the cattle and goes away from it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُ الذِّئْبُ الْقَاصِيَةُ وَالشَّاذَّةُ, the wolf will pick up only the goat that stays away from the rest of the goats. It does not dare to go and pick up one from the whole thing, from the whole folk over there. But the one that has separated itself and goes away by itself, the wolf will try to come and pick that one up. And whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw any of the people who was trying to keep himself away from the rest, always Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advice to those sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in was that alaykum bil jama'ah. Hold strongly to the jama'ah. Hold strongly to the jama'ah. Holding to the jama'ah is more important than differing because and going away because breaking yourself off because of these minor differences. Holding to the jama'ah is extremely important, and this division will only bring fitna and fasad in the ummah. Division doesn't bring us any good, remember. It will only bring us more fitna and fasad. The point we need to realize and understand that because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not open the room for breaking ourselves of the ummah, for dividing ourselves, dividing our communities, and bringing the shirk into the ummah, which is the key to every evil in the ummah. This division is the key to every shirk in the ummah. So many ahadith in the collection of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he indicates that the greatest shirk that will open in the ummah is the division. And the greatest benefit of the ummah is in being together. When they are together, then nothing can break them off their deen. And as soon as they start getting divided, then they will even start losing their deen and iman, and shaitan will start stealing their iman and their faith. So this is basically what Sharia is teaching us, that we should always try to work with these differences, understand each other. And as I said, let me just mention a point which is beside this one that normally we normally worry about in the masajid, in the house, in the families. A lot of time differences, people are really having a lot of issues in the family matters. And a lot of times it leads to some major problems in the families. And when we go for counseling, we see that minor issues of opinion have led to some major ones. Buying a car, this color or that color. And now it goes on and on. And I told you last time that we should buy this color, and you didn't buy it that time. Then I told you that when we buy the furniture, it should be this color. And I told you that the color of our bedroom should be this one. And then it goes and on and on. And we keep on remembering these issues, where we had differences, where the person didn't listen to us. Forget about all of these things. These things are immaterial. These things are of no value comparing to other things that we should be getting by staying together and by having our hearts be together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to keep our hearts together and to understand each other. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the whole ummah united and our hearts united. Unity, once one of the gatherings regarding moon sighting, some of the brothers suggested that, you know, the only way that we will have unity is once we decide that we would be doing only one method, no other method. So of course some other brothers objected that if we do that, it will be of course just limited to ourselves, the people that are sitting here. But how about the rest of the people in the world? Because this is not an issue that is only in this part of the world. It's universal. And everywhere you go, people have this issue. So some brothers suggested that how can we bring the whole people of the world together on that issue? So I said, how about we get united? And unity is the most important thing. And we get united on understanding that we will be doing it on two different days. We get united on that understanding. And then wherever you go, when people ask you, tell them, yes, we are together. How come you're together? You're praying in two different days? Yes, we are together because we agreed those people will do it on that day and we will do it on this day. So we are united on this issue. We have agreed. Believe me, a lot of differences, we will have to deal with them with understanding and accepting that if there is room, of course, when there is no room, that's different. When there is room, accepting that, mashallah, let's just take it and we will, inshallah, will accept those differences and we will not open the doors towards the shaitan because of these. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us and guide us. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Brothers and sisters, we should thank Sheikh Ibrahim and Sheikh Ismail also for taking time off from their commitments. With us this weekend, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal whatever we have heard. Also, we may go up, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them in their health, in their knowledge also, inshallah, in their life also, inshallah, wealth also, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them back here more and more often, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expand the madrasa, the darul ulum, and whatever intentions they have also of going further and further, inshallah, of benefiting more and more of the ummah here in this part of the world. As you know, many, many students from different parts of North America, alhamdulillah, now even from Canada, students are going there, according to some of this from the it's a little bit from South America also. So inshallah, who knows, this is just one of the beginning and, you know, places that started a few years ago. And from there, doctors will, you know, go to different this year, inshallah, with all the students graduating and so forth. So we make dua, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala, you know, let that institution grow from strength to strength, strength to strength also. And as mentioned, Sheikh mentioned that inshallah, on the 15th of April, they have their graduation ceremony also. You know, once a year, the three students that graduate and so forth. So inshallah, it's something to see that you find so many, you know, people there also, alhamdulillah, something that we can experience. So the other two times, over the weekend, the Easter weekend also, inshallah. So everyone is invited to that function also, inshallah. And inshallah, Shaykhina will be doing tomorrow. We may go out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the journey an easy and safe one, inshallah, whatever the hazards of the journey. And also we request the shuyukh for Shaykh Ibrahim and Shaykh Ismail also to forgive us for any shortcoming from our side. You know, any disrespect that we have shown you, whatever way. We are humble people, you know, like they say, the Arabs, the bad ones, you know. Inshallah, forgive us for all that, inshallah. And we look forward to seeing them again, inshallah. Inshallah, inshallah, we left Salah at another 7 minutes. Like those that you want to make good one, inshallah.